All right, Marty Lurie here at KNBR 680 with Carlos Moncrief of the Giants. They call him Los. I like that nickname.
Yeah, it's something that my parents called me growing up. My brother and a lot of my friends called me Los, so I just, you know, then it's short, you know, so it's a quick name, Los, so it works out.
Yeah, come on, I was looking for you, and I was talking to Ryder Jones. I said, well, where is he? And he says, oh, Los, you mean? I said, yeah, Los. So.
Yeah, me and Ryder, we played together last year, you know, and Richmond, AA, and this year, too, in Sacramento. And now together in the big league. So we, you know, pretty cool. So I guess I can call him my friend, so he calls me Los, too.
All right. Carlos Moncrief with us. We call him Los. But he is a San Francisco Giant. And just coming up to the big leagues this time for you, and you're here, and you got your bat, and you got a hit, and everything is sort of coming into place for you. I always like to ask how you get the call up, because there's always some sort of crazy story in there.
Yeah, I was sleeping, and my coach from Sacramento called me, and I didn't get the phone call. I had two missed calls. I woke up, checked my phone. They called me like, I say, 10 minutes before I woke up, and so it was two missed calls. That was the only reason I called back. Normally, you know, if it's just one missed call, I won't call the number back. You know, I'll just, you know, assume it was a bill collector or whatever the case may be. So I called the number back after I saw the two missed calls, and he told me that they were taking me off of the Sacramento roster because we had, you know, a lot of players or whatever. And, you know, it was true. Like, a lot of players did, you know, come at that one particular moment. I wasn't even in the lineup the day before, so I just assumed that he was just taking me off the roster, maybe going to Phantom DL, maybe. He told me that they were taking me off the AAA roster and put me on the big league roster, you know. And, you know, it was a very happy moment for me, you know, after so many years in the minor leagues. You know, I was elated to get the news. You know, I told my wife about it, my dad, you know.
Beautiful.
It was on my dad's 59th birthday, you know. So that was like, you know, that was a big moment for me, and I'm sure for him as well.
Boy, nice to have Carlos Moncrief with us. Good story. Was this the closest you had come to getting up to the big leagues? Had you gotten sort of a call before? Maybe it didn't follow through?
I was on the 40-man roster with the Cleveland Indians in 2014 and all of 2015. I was designated on September 3rd or 4th of 2015. But me being on the 40-man roster with the Indians, that was the closest I've ever been.
Okay. All right. Well, he's up in the big leagues now. Of course, watching you play, they like you up here. And the first thing they noticed was your arm. And they said, put him in the bullpen. You've already been in the bullpen. You're a pitcher when you started throwing in the 90s. But the arm is something that really caught people's attention.
I mean, you know, it's something that I've always had. I've always had a pretty strong arm. My dad was a pitcher. He had a strong arm as well, you know, so I'm assuming that I got it from him and someone else down the line in the Moncrief family tree. But it feels, you know, it feels good that people took notice of something that, you know, that's a talent of mine. That's a good feeling.
Well, it's a tool, and you got to have tools to be in the big leagues, and that's a good tool for you. But you did start off as a pitcher. Who changed you?
Well, me and the Indians had a talk about me changing, me and the farm director there. And, you know, he agreed to give me an opportunity. You know, I poured my heart out in the meeting. Like, you know, I really have a passion for hitting and playing out. You know, I'm 2 years in as a pitcher, a relief pitcher at that, you know. So, I mean, they had seen that I had some history as a position player. So, you know, they gave me an opportunity. And, you know, I really appreciate that from them. And, you know, it brought me to where I am today.
What kind of a hitter were you while you were a pitcher?
While I was a pitcher, what type of hitter was I? I mean, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, did you hit a lot? Did they see you? Sometimes, you know, there are players today who pitch and hit. Did you have a chance to hit?
No, never. No, you know, because it's an American League team or whatever. Which one is it? I think it is American League, yeah. Well, so we have a DH, you know, and... So I was never, no, I had never picked up a bat with them. You know, they I guess, kind of went out on a limb. And maybe because I was so passionate about it in the meeting. But I do appreciate them for that, because that's a rare thing where they'll change your position or something that, you know, they draft you to do.
Oh, great story. Really, it's a great story. Carlos Moncrief with us. And they hadn't seen him hit before. And you were very convincing. And they gave you a shot, and here you are in the big leagues. Your junior college in Florida, Chipola?
Cipolla.
Cipolla. I went to the University of Florida, so I know I've seen the name before many times. But you got drafted by the Indians. What was that like?
I mean, it was a great feeling. At that time, you know, I got drafted out of high school by the Phillies in the 20th round. And but to this day, I don't know what they drafted me as. You know, I was already on my way to school, so, you know, he never really confirmed whether or not it was pitcher or hitter, because that was always the question, was I going to go with a pitcher or a hitter. But I had hit 97 on the radar gun in college. I only pitched 17 innings in college at that. Like, I came in, relieved a few times, but I was a full-time right fielder, you know. But I forgot what the question was.
No, that's good. No, you know, getting drafted by the Indians, that was a good one. Yeah. Now you're answering it.
Yeah, and they gave me an opportunity as a pitcher in the 14th round, and, you know, I ran with it. You know, I figured, well, I could throw 95, you know. It should be easy. I didn't know the necessary grind that it took to be successful, but, you know, it was definitely, big ups to the pitchers that, you know, go through the grueling process, because all they use is their arm, you know. You know, with a hitter, if our swing is bad, we can hit one on the ground and maybe beat it out with our legs, or if it don't work out on offense, defense, but a pitcher's arm that's all they use, you know. So, you know, to keep their arm strong and healthy, you know, I know it's not easy.
Well, I could see why people like you, why you're convincing, because you have a very good attitude about baseball and, of course, what it takes to be in the big league. So I could see that. I really can. So nice to have Carlos Moncrief with us. Now, you played around the different places in the world, and I saw some of the quotes you had earlier that, you know, you had to feed the family, you know, and your dad wanted to get a truck driver's license and stuff like that. But you have been in different countries playing, and I think that's interesting for the fans to hear that.
Yeah, I've been to Venezuela, I've been to Mexico twice, and I went to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico was my first winter ball stint. Going out to Venezuela, you know, and Mexico, and Puerto Rico, but it was more of, you know, I was more in tune with myself when I got to Venezuela. So I understood the magnitude of what was going on around me, you know, and playing there, you know, and that will to win, you know, because that's all they have, you know, is baseball in some of these places, you know, that's what gives them, you know, life or whatever. So, I mean, they put so much passion into the game, players and the fans. So, you know, doing that, it really, you know, showed me what it meant, you know, to know how to win and want to win every single day.
Very good.
Yeah.
The culture, though, of just adjusting to life and food in Mexico, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, what was that like?
Mexico wasn't bad. You know, I never got sick in Mexico. They, you know, with the tortilla, what I did get sick was in Venezuela. You know, I was on the bathroom floor just by myself. Didn't have service on the phone, you know. I mean, the hospitals weren't, you know, and, you know, it wasn't something you can just have access to. And so, like, man, I was on the floor just drinking watermelon juice, apple juice, and trying to, you know, take care of myself. You know, I talked to my wife, and, you know, nothing they could do. I'm in, you know, Venezuela, so I have to really, you know, I was sick for, like, a few. I lost a lot of weight. Like, I was really skinny. Like, I came back, and a lot of players called me Flaco because I had got so skinny. You know, I was, like, 225, 230. I was, like, 210 or something. Like, I lost, like, 20 pounds, like, in a week and a half.
Wow.
You know, so I mean, you know, that was, yeah, you know, and that make you strong. It make you appreciate what you have and appreciate just everything and anything that you might get.
Boy, I love this story. Very good. I'm enjoying talking with you, Carlos Moncrief. Oh, you've been in the big leagues. And I ask this to people every once in a while. I say, what's the best part of being in the big leagues? I never know what people are going to say. But you know, here you are. You're in the big leagues. It's first class all the way. Well, what's the best part?
I mean, I love it, man. I don't even have anything in specific. You know, I was in my league for so many years. And, you know, I'm so low maintenance now that, you know, anything that put in front of me, I'm, like, amazed about it, you know. So, I mean, every part of it, to the, you know, the white bases, to the smooth green grass, you know, everything is all right with me.
Yeah, the food's not bad either.
Yeah, it's real good food. You know, I see why, you know, people get big and healthy when they get to the big league. You definitely got to manage. If you don't have self-control, you better get some.
All right, so first at bat, I think, was it a walk, the first at bat? And, of course, you got a first hit as well. So you got those out of the way. How did the first hit feel?
The first hit felt pretty amazing. You know, it's been settling in with me more and more, you know, every day when I wake up, you know. The first few days, it felt like a dream walking around in, you know. But now I'm, you know, getting to know some of the guys better than I did before, you know. So it's, you know, the more comfortable you get, the more you start getting in tune with what's going on. But just being here, you know, I'm appreciative, definitely.
All right, Carlos Moncrief, one last thought for you. Bam Bam, I talked to him a little bit before talking with you. He says you have a tremendous history of being able to come off the bench and be a really productive player off the bench. That's the first thing he told me. What is that for you? I mean, just preparation, watching the game. That isn't a skill that could keep you in the big leagues for a long time.
Yeah, that's all right with me. You know, I guess I started doing it in 2016, last year, actually. You know, being in on a National League team, you know, having to pinch hit and stuff. Really, I just had to put it in my head, like, it started off like, okay, this could be my last at bat. You know, because I was used to playing every day, you know, with the Indians. I came here, and I was in Double-A, you know, playing when I could play, when guys needed a break or, you know, pinch hitting, you know, that was just what I did. So I had to put it in my head as if, you know, this could be my last at bat. So, you know, it made me, like, started putting, you know, my heart into every AB, you know. So I guess with that mentality, and even though it's just a pinch hit and you're not expected to get a hit or you're not expected to be locked in like you've been playing all game, you know, you've been sitting around, you know, but it's just I guess it's like a mindset, you know, going up there like this is it, like make a break, you know, take it serious. That's just what it is.
Well, it's a great trait to have, honestly, and for someone who's got speed and can throw the ball like you do, and left-handed hitters, they always love left-handed hitters anyway. Most of the pitchers are right-handed, yeah. So to be able to come off the bench and do it, it's a good skill. So it's a pleasure to have you on. I know the fans are excited about you, and they love the throws from the outfield. I don't know. You know, it's funny, and I ask you this. The favorite part of watching highlights, and, you know, some people say home run, some people say a stolen base. A lot of people say a throw from the outfield is their favorite part, and we've seen it with Jared Parker and different people. What about you?
I really love throwing from the outfield. Yeah, it's one of the things that I take pride in it, being in the outfield. I have a strong arm, and it's not like, you know, I have that people have expectations that, you know, since I have an arm, I should be able to throw them out. It's just more like I really want to throw somebody out. Like, I don't know. Like, it's similar to hitting a home run. Like, if you throw something, it's like somebody's trying to take something from you, and you got to try hard to tell them no, you know, and that's kind of what it is when I'm throwing the ball from the outfield. Yeah,
great description, Ray. Pleasure having you on. I mean that. Very nice having you on, and we'll catch up with you again. That's Carlos Moncrief. Thanks, Carlos.
Appreciate that, man. Thanks.
All right, that's Los. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.